1903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Wednesday evening, October the 27th, 2005. Chris Simpson of New Wine Christian Fellowship in Pasadena, Texas, is the speaker of this service. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And all the waiters are kowtowed and wimps and, you know, so, you know, if God wants to walk in discernment, the Spirit is prevalent in many areas. Again, it's always true. Wherever there's an abdicating authority, you ready? There's a controlling power to stir him up against God's order and truth. That's what it says. Jezebel, stir him up. Wherever there's authority willing to abdicate truth, not stand up for what's right, not willing to lose his life to find it, all right? There's a Jezebel there to fill in the vacuum and bring in destructive. Okay, in conclusion here, we're going to look at three things: the characteristics of the Jezebel spirit, the roots, and the maturation process, okay? First, the characteristics. There it is. Let me write that down. Characteristics of the Jezebel spirit. We're going to go through these. First one is, go ahead, manipulates to gain control. Now, I really recommend you pastors and leaders and stuff write these things down. It's just kind of, again, I got this, a lot of this revelation having gone through it myself, and this might be helpful to you. Most leaders, listen, do not recognize until too late. I'm one of them. Jezebel spirits. You know? Just because a pastor tends to kind of go the extra mile, err on the side of mercy, all that stuff, you know. But, you know, it's good to have good old spiritual warfare prayer. And we have something. In fact, they did it tonight. I called them. Every Wednesday night from 7 to 7:30, our core group, Koinonia, we all come together, speak and pray in tongues, 15, 20 minutes, and then we bomb demons in Jesus' name over the church, over the city, and over our families. Every week we bomb those demons. Amen. I love that. It's like it keeps, it's like wiping your windshield. You know, it just keeps the umbrella out there. And it's healthy to do that. You've got to have a regular spiritual warfare intercession, taking authority over the demons that are assigned over the church, the families, and the local area. We know the demon over Pasadena, where he lives. We know where he lives. He sits over Gillies. Y'all ever heard of Gillies in Pasadena? Remember that movie, Urban Cowboy? Well, I'm 2 miles from Gillies, and it's no longer there, but the demon still sits with it. We bind that debaucherous spirit every day, every Wednesday. And that helps. That's a very helpful thing. If you will do offensive, look, take the ball. You're not going to get a touchdown unless you have run with the ball. Amen? Too many of us on defense. Take the offense. Run with the ball. Beat the enemy in his punch. You rebuke the enemy before he comes in. That's the first thing. You've got to have spiritual warfare. I've found that out, haven't you, Jim? If I'm going to have a good, ordered church where I can lay down at night, be at peace, and not be fretting about stuff, if we do regular spiritual warfare, authority, and fast. By the way, fasting's the key, too. Now, the Lord's been kicking me about that. You've got to fast. You've got to fast. If you don't have a fast in your life, folks, you're going to have intermittent victory. It got quiet on that one, bro. You know, if we don't take anything else from here, you really need to put a disciplined fast. You know, Brother Norman here told me years ago, he said, brother, you ought to fast a day a week, 3 days a month, at least 10 days a year. And I've done something different. The Lord finally showed me, I've started this a couple of months ago, I fast 3 days a week now, pleasant foods. And it's great. 3 days a week, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, if I'm not traveling, well, I did it this week, I eat nothing but fruit and vegetables. That's my fast. Nothing but fruit. No corn chips, no sugar, just fruit and vegetables 3 days a week. Now, that's kind of a wimp fast on one level, but it's a good fast. Because 3 days a week, mom telling my body, no! And I tell you, I got, for instance, I'm breaking my fast after this meeting. I've been fasting since Monday. I already have back at the room a bag of corn chips waiting. When I opened the drawer, I would see them. I love corn chips. But, you know, it's good to tell that body no. Amen? And I've decided I got to do that 3 days a week. Boy, I took the Holy Ghost about 2 months to talk me into that. But you know what? I'm sick of lame Christianity. I want to touch the blind eyes and see them open. I want to raise the dead. I listen to David Hogan. Some of y'all know David Hogan down in Mexico. I mean, he'll convict you. I got him on my iPod. I listen to all these teachings. It's really persuaded me the key for me is going to be fasting. Fasting is spiritual warfare prayer. You know, the demons fast. The devils, the witch doctors, they go into caves and seal off, stay in there a month, fasting with none but water until Satan appears. That's how they get their power. Down there in, you know, Central South America, they'll go and fast for a month, 6 weeks. The demon will appear. They get power. And we think we're going to go defeat a demon like that mumbling in tongues? You know, we got to, amen? Fast and pray. Some don't come out. But anyway, not sure how I got there. Oh, manipulates to gain control. Okay. There is no ministry immune. Now, I really believe there are three things that happen with leaders, with a Jezebel, right? They don't recognize it too late, or they recognize it and they deal with it from the flesh. They pull the person in. You've got a Jezebel demon, and you don't need to be doing your Jezebel demon in my church. Well, hello, that Jezebel demon will walk out and rip your church apart, take a third of the people away, say the pastor got in the flesh. And the third thing, they recognize, but they compromise. They don't want to battle with it. They'll just immediately, they'll raise her up, let her be in leadership, so they don't have to deal with it. The second thing, a Jezebel tends to gather people to herself. Remember Absalom? Perfect type of a Jezebel spirit in a split kingdom. Absalom, study Absalom. Perfect type of what it takes to split a church. Subtle, drippy, honey off the tongue, but he had a Jezebel demon. And right up under David's nose, he seduced the people. And it's interesting, his affinity to David afforded him the legitimacy in the eyes of the people and the credibility. Because of his affinity to David, his closeness with David as his son, he had a credibility in the eyes of the people. That's how he stuck at them and stole the hearts of the men of Israel. A lot of times the Jezebel will make subtle insinuations contrary to what's taught. There was a gentleman not long ago that left my church, been there a long time, and a few months before he left, when I would preach the word, he would lean over and just say subtle put-down things about what I just said. Well, you know, just a little. I didn't catch it at first. I began to pick it up. I feel this thing in my gut. It was a demon starting to work, woo this guy away. Next one, false humility. A Jezebel will talk submission with rebellion in their heart. A lot of times a Jezebel seems so spiritual publicly, always concerned with the needs of others, always gravitating to the new sheep, right? Always praying for the new ones, the susceptible ones. But behind the scenes, using subtle manipulation to blackmail the leaders. Next one. A religious spirit. These are Jezebel. Down-to-earth people, by the way, are not as susceptible. I love down-to-earth people. Earthy people that are real. Amen? You punch them, they are tempted to punch back. They're real. They're earthy. It's okay to be real. Real is good. Be angry and sin not. It's okay. Don't stuff the anger. Don't hide it. Don't be phony baloney. Take off the masks. People that are real tend not to get us caught in this. When a Jezebel's around, a lot of times you get a check in the gut. If you've got any kind of discernment, you can discern it. You feel something squeezy and something's weird. You know, you can't be yourself. And you know one of the main reasons people tend to get into the Jezebel spirit? One of the main reasons, you ready? Bitterness. I really believe bitterness is one of the roots. Just bitterness and unforgiveness. And bitterness will all... I remember Brother Norman, you shared a sermon years ago about bitterness. And I think it ultimately culminates in witchcraft and control. I think that may have been one of Saul's roots. You know, or a rejection. Next one, family disorder. The husband of a Jezebel is usually an Ahab. The sons, like I said, are insecure, sometimes effeminate. And the daughters tend to resent men. Okay? And those sons and daughters, when you minister to them, you need to teach them to usually daddy issues and mama issues. That's usually going on. They resent their... Have a lady in our church. She was telling us not long ago. She had a daddy. Oh, sad thing. But when she was like, for 5 years, he would molest his daughters. He had like four daughters, he would molest them. He was a truck driver. When he came home, he'd molest his daughters. And this young lady had been molested, oh gosh, dozens of times, from about 12 to 16. And he would molest her sisters. But praise God, good lady, she came, got delivered, got saved. I mean, she's been so delivered now, she has a powerful anointing for abused women. Hallelujah. God's redeemed it. I mean, this woman, she got feelers out 6 feet. I mean, she's discernment. Because she's been there, done it. She's like my flashlight in the spirit, you know. But she told me, you know, she said, you know the one I had a harder time of forgiving? It was not my daddy. It was my mama. Because mama knew. And she didn't have the guts to stand up to him. She said, daddy, yeah, he's a scum sinner. He ended up getting saved. Praise God. But mama was the one. Because she knew. And that was the one the daughter had the harder time forgiving. Well, not the abuser. The one who knew about the abuse and didn't stand up for her. Didn't protect her. And wasn't willing to lose the relationship to find it. I really believe you can't have anything in life unless you're willing to lose it. When you lose it, you get it. The irony is if you just quit clinging to it, let it go, it'll come back. But so many people hang on to these things, they turn sick and perverted and like a corpse, you know. like somebody that a loved one passes away, they, you know, leave them sitting in the chair for a few months. I mean, this, you hear about these stories, you know. The internet is crazy, the things you hear about now. But that's what sick soul ties are, when you're finally willing to lose a life to gain it. Okay, the next one. Uses God's name as a cover-up. Often Jezebels will quote lots of scriptures. Always have scripture justification. Always talking about what God said. Rarely about what they heard from others. I've noticed that somebody always says, the Lord this and the Lord that, and God said this and God said that and God said that. And I go, how do you do that? You got a 1-800 number to him? I mean, I've known him a long time, but I don't just hear him rattling all these things to me. I mean, you know, I've learned, I don't care how long I've known the Lord, I got to confirm this stuff in the mouth of two or three witnesses. I don't know about you. Hello? I mean, I don't trust myself. You know that's healthy? I don't trust what I hear. I think it's the Lord. I believe. And I'll take it to a couple of folks and bounce it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Why? Are y'all awake? Confirm. In the multitude of counsels, there's safety. So when I hear something from the Holy Ghost, and I learned as a pastor a long time, it's really good to bounce it off of others and get it confirmed. And I'll say, look, I'm not coming down with stone tablets off of the mountain with a veil over my face. That doesn't work with my people. Okay. Now what I'll say is, well, you know, I'm really feeling the Lord's leading us this way, and I've shared it with these folks, and we're all praying, and we got, man, everybody buys into that. Amen? But a Jezebel often will just always, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, and I want to go, give me a break. You know, we're all human. We don't hear that clear all the time sometimes, but sometimes not. That's why we're the body of Christ. Next, has a ministry of prayer. Sometimes comes across as super spiritual. There's nothing wrong with the ministry of prayer, but sometimes a Jezebel will always want, well, can I just pray for you? Just wants to really lay hands. I know here at the camp, don't you still have that policy that y'all don't want folks praying and laying hands on each other back in the rooms and stuff? There's a lot of problems, you know. Jezebels will come in here and start ministering to people and casting demons out by the river out there, you know. Yeah, and no. You do it up under the authority right out here where the brethren can judge and discern and correct. Amen? Praise God. You know, a lot of times the Jezebel will pray, but the prayer is to make someone do something. It's a manipulative prayer. Lord, would you tell my husband to, you know what I'm saying? You know what God's doing with a prayer like that? Exactly what he told Martha. Martha, you're the one. Next one. Seeks people out to minister to. Like I said, usually new, susceptible men as believers. Also weak, insecure, and gullible people. Next one. And seeks to infiltrate leadership. Pastoral anointing attracts Jezebel like moths to a flame. It's true. I've learned. I preach it hard and cold. I take the steel blade of this word. I jam it in a bunch of times. Put it back in. Guess what? Jezebels don't hang around. Amen? Do mass deliverance, take the word of God, stab it into the people, resheath it, and pray, and guess what? Jezebels don't hang around. Amen? If a preacher will just preach the pure word of God, the uncompromised truth of God's word, have the guts to stand up for what's right, guess what? Jezebel can't stand. Because there's no vacuum for them to get in. It's when they sense a weakness, sense a compromise, sense like what really grieves me, a lot of preachers will start a church, and then they'll get in debt real fast. Let's buy this building, you know. And they get in debt. And debt's bad. Because when debt's bad, when you got debt, you got to have money to pay the mortgage. Well, and they look out there and they see two or three people are the tithers. I mean, you know, they know. And thank God for those people. Their tithe helps to pay the mortgage. So then they get up in the pulpit. They don't jab in the direction of the tither. Are y'all hearing what I'm talking about? And they compromise. And what happens is the spirit comes in. And the money and the fear and there's a power bases grow up. Little strongholds of power bases of Jezzy and Ahabs grow up in the church. And all because of they went out and finally got a debt. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. We have a mortgage. But I was a pastor for 10 years. We saved for 10 years renting. Finally, I had $170,000. I'm a frugal guy. Put $100,000 down because a lady came and gave me a $90,000 tithe one day. That was a good day. I will never forget that day. She got $1 million settlement. Her husband was a Hollywood actor who got killed. And I helped her, held her hand, and helped her get this legal settlement. She tithed that sucker. Anyway, that was a down payment. I'd saved $110,000. We bought this building. Folks, I have an 8,000 square foot building on a main thoroughfare in my town. that's now worth $375,000. I only owe $52K on it, and my monthly note is $1,064. Praise God. I'm not afraid. Run them tithers off. Sorry. I don't want to. No. But I'm not going to preach a compromised word worrying about tithers. Hey, I'll come up with $1,000. I'll get a couple people. This is, you know, let's pool our buck. Amen? We'll pay that mortgage. Folks, that's freedom. Get free, debt free. Owe no man anything but to love one another. And you get in a ministry like this, you know, the devil's going to find any way to squelch you, to shut you down. And Jezebel's coming in. And when I hear about this debt stuff, I say, you know, because that's a bit, I'm in the financial services business. I say, that's bad. You know, debt's, what is that scripture in Proverbs? That the lender, the debtor, the borrower is slave to the lender. You know, another thing that Jezebel doesn't want to, seeks to infiltrate leadership, they don't want to work up the ranks of service. You know, they want to come right in the church and minister. I had a fellow one time came to church, you may have had this happen, and he came a few meetings, he came up and said, Pastor, you know, I'd really like to help you out in pulpit duties. I'm serious. He had a pigtail and a ponytail, and he says, yeah, I have a gift to teach, and I'd be glad to, you know, help you do some sermons. And, you know, the Lord showed me just, I said, well, you know, it's really loving of you. That is really, and I appreciate you willing to serve, brother, and you know, that just made me work. But, you know, let me tell you, I have a need. I just found out that in our nursery, there's a need. And if you would go, you know, help them out in the nursery and, you know, help out with the, and then I understand the ushers have an opening. But, you know, that's where the need is. But some, you know, I never saw that guy again. He didn't want to woke up the ranks of service. That's the next thing, the root causes of Jezebel. Okay? The first one is rebellion. Our Jezebel can never really submit to anybody. In fact, those with Jezebel spirits are often an emotional drag on those in the Lord. You know that scripture says, obey them that are over you, that they may, how's that read? He was, obey them that are over you in the Lord, and submit yourselves, for they give account that they may do it with joy, not with grief. There's nothing more grieving than trying to help someone that's not submitted. The next one, bitterness. These are root causes. 90% of reasons Jezebel spirits get a hold of people is bitterness. And usually they're bitter because their parents' authority was bitter. There's bitter parents. I found, like, who was the brother Jim shared this morning? Have you found most cases tend to be mommy and daddy issues? I mean, it's amazing. You're right. I like what you said today. You hit on, what was the two things you said? The two things you deal with people first is mommy and daddy issue and authority. There it is. There you go. You run them off just fast. Are you, do you have a submission to all authorities in your life, and you're dealing with your mom and daddy issues? Right there, dude, you've dealt with 70% of the demons. And then just get your life in order and forgive mom and dad. Break those curses. We've also found the reason people are sick and things don't go well with them because they violate that commandment, that it may go well with you and you can live long. Why are you not living long? You're sick. So it's not just forgiving mom and dad, it's asking forgiveness how you dishonored them. That's the real key. It's not, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. It's not just forgiving mom and dad, oh, how big of you. You forgave your mom and dad, how big of you. How about humbling yourself and asking forgiveness for your rebellion, for your grumbling, for your dishonor. That's where the Holy Ghost comes. Amen? Okay, next one. Fear. These are root reasons. Fear being controlled, prevents any true submission. You know that? Fear being controlled. And again, that's the threatened by any authority, usually because they had abusive authority growing up. So there's a fear of being controlled. I'm not going to submit. They're always looking for the perfect church. You know? And they'll be there for a while, and then they scrutinize, and then finally they find some flaw. So they move on. We got those bunny rabbits all over Houston, hopping, from church to church to church. Either they go to the big giant churches, the massive churches, and the biggest one in the country is about 5 miles from my house. Now, I'm not going to tell you the name of it, but Joel Osteen's the pastor. Biggest church in the country. Okay, I would submit to you, Joel Osteen, I think he's a good guy. It's obviously loves Jesus, but that ain't a church, folks. That's called a preaching station. You can go there and get preached at. We meet people who have been there 2 years and never met anybody. Never have no relationship with anybody. I tell people, that's not a church. You can just sit at home. Look him on your cable. Amen. What's a church? The New Testament, the church has to do with, you ready? Relationships. Yeah. Submission. And we call it the liquid glaze. And it's the liquid glaze. I mean, these people who go to these big, giant churches, they're all spiritual. It's all here. We had a lady once when I first got in deliverance. She went to one of those big churches, and I asked her, she's fine, I'm blessed, and always I'm blessed. And I'm going to think, well, if you're blessed, why are you here for deliverance? And, you know, we lifted the hood. There wasn't no engine in there. She was suicidal. Manic, suicidal free, but she was blessed. I'm sorry, I have a problem with the cotton candy religion we hear in the United States. I don't know if you watch Christian TV. I encourage my people, don't watch that thing. It's like a bad buffet. You ever been to a buffet? Once in a while, something will be good. Some of it's bad, spoiled. It's a bad buffet. You watch that Christian TV, yeah, it's going to be something here and there. But, man, you got to wait till a bunch of gaga. I don't know, about sitting in gold chairs. It's just something about it. I can see Jesus, the meek and lowly one, you know? I'm sorry. Next one. Pride. Roots. You'll notice the Jezebel spirit always tends to steer the conversation back to themselves. You're talking, and it always tends to come back to themselves. And no matter what you say, it always tends to come back to themselves. And then we go, y'all know what I'm talking about? Another key manifestation is their self-pity. They use it to get their way. Next one, a few more. Unholy spirit. Actually, a root is they will converse and seek guidance from unclean spirits. And how do they do that? When they're bitter. When they're bitter and they pray. You know, if you pray to Jesus with a bitterness in your heart, you're talking to a demon. Did you know if you worship Jesus and you got bitterness in your heart, you're worshiping a demon? You say, where do you see that? Because Jesus said, where two or more gathered, there am I in your midst. You conjure the Lord when two or more gathered in his name. You actually, I don't like the word conjured, but he comes in your midst when two or more gathered in my name. But Matthew 18 also says that if your brother has ought against you, you need to follow God's order to work that thing out. That's the context. If you don't work that thing out, if you're bitter, if you're judging, if you're resentful, and you still worship Jesus, there's a religious demon, and it's going to sit up there in the sky and say, you're okay, and he's not. And you can worship me, but you can have that bitterness in your heart because you're right and he's wrong. That's what the demon says. And they worship demons in church all the time. Religious spirits. Man, I've got a big church. You can't believe the thousands that come with this kind of preaching. You hear what I'm saying? Most people don't want to hear this. But it's real. You know, something about forgiveness is so close to the heart of Jesus. Do you know the first words he said when his disciples were born again? I think it was Brother Norman shared with me. I always wondered, at what point were they born again? A wonderful revelation. They were born, man was born when God breathed. Remember? Genesis 1:26, I forget. And God breathed. So let there be, and man became a living nephesh, right? But it was in John 20 where Jesus breathed on them. So you see, I really believe that's when they were born again. Now, guess what's the worst first word out of his mouth? Think, they're three new babies. The first Christians ever, he said, whoever sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whoever sins you remit, retain, they're retained. That's the first words. You think, whoa, this is important. He said, yeah, this is the most important thing you'll ever know. Forgive and don't retain. Can you hear that? Because if anything gives ground to the devil, it's unforgiveness and bitterness. Okay, let's go ahead and look at the maturation process in conclusion. How a Jezebel spirit can mature. First, heart of insubordination. You don't wake up a Jezebel, by the way. A Jezebel or an Ahab doesn't wake up a Jezebel or Ahab. It's a process. Okay? It starts with a bitter root. It starts with resentment. And if somebody's not there covering them, remember that in Hebrews he said, looking to yourselves lest there be any bitter root, springing up, troubling you, whereby many be defiled. That's exactly what he's talking about. The Jezebel spirit springing up. A root grows into a plant, grows into a bush, tree, it monopolizes. It starts with us, a heart. You know what a heart of insubordination is? Questioning an authority at every step. Always questioning authority. Always doubt. It's really a grief to authority when you do that. Authority may not all. There is no authority on this earth that's always going to be right all the time. Okay? But we can trust the Lord. Amen? Next one. Solicitation. That's a subtle promotion of self to gain status and recognition. They'll often give with a hidden motive to get. I just have trouble with the ministries out there, which is probably the largesse of them in the United States, where the minister is the predominant face on the brochures. The minister, the ministry is always an ego, pushing a personality up. I have trouble with that. I don't know about you. I was sharing with somebody today, one of my favorite ministers in the country, and he's, I don't agree with everything he says. He's kind of legalistic to me. There's Bill Gothard, Basic Youth. What is that? And I tell you what, Bill Gothard is an amazing guy. You can go through all his material. He's got a bunch of his books. He's got some great resources. You're not going to find his picture nowhere. You're going to find nothing about Bill Gothard. Nothing. I mean, I went to a couple of Bill Gothards, and finally I figured, well, what is this Bill Gothard? Is that a person? You know what God did for Bill Gothard? He played tennis with Boris Yeltsin, and God allowed him to put his structured teaching in the schools of Russia. Amen? Meek guy who kept his name out, God opened all kinds of doors. I was telling a couple of the guys here yesterday, I really believe if you want to be well known in the spirit world, you pretty much need to be unknown in the natural. Well, how do I get that? Well, by the time the seven sons of Sceva went to cast this demon out of this guy in Acts 19, was it? And the demon said, well, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? All right? Well, it's interesting in the Greek. It's Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with, but who are you? The demons knew Paul. The demons knew Paul. You know, went down to the local bar, and demons drinking dry martinis, you know, the dry places. And Paul's name comes up. Well, I hate that guy. He was well known in the spirit world. Okay? But boy, you read what his testimony in Corinthians and in the natural, he was the offscouring of all things, despised, you know, rejected. He was not very well known in the natural. So I think it's a trade-off. If you really want to be known in the spirit world, your name famed abroad amongst the demon crowd, then, folks, you're going to have to suffer some kind of humility and meekness in the natural. Can you amen? But if you want to be big time, your name in lights, you might be able to cast a dime store demon out once in a while. God gives grace to the humble, but he resists what? Okay, the next one. Malice and manipulation. A Jezebel spirit matures. A mature Jezebel spirit will do things with the intent to hurt. Now, this gets worse. This is as they're maturing. Operates in vengeance and slander. Moves in campaigns. When those Jezebels rose up against me, one of them wrote a letter to everyone in the church. In the letter, delineating all of my faults. It was a real short letter, just a little postcard, you know, just jotting. A couple of words, you know. No, it was just like, you know, actually, that was the stupidest thing that person, because that showed everybody, this is not the Lord. It was actually really good that it happened, but boy, it was tough. Campaign, vicious. That poor girl I saw a few years later wasn't even following Jesus anymore. You had met with her. She was off living with a boy. She just couldn't, you know, a lot of witchcraft. Next one, occult and spiritual violence. This is getting the maturing. The Jezebel is getting more and more mature. The tree is getting bigger, stronger. Uses occult means to get power. Occult means. Two of these will rip a church apart. Witches. And you can have people that never would have been witchcraft. I don't think Saul's intention was to get into witchcraft in the beginning, ever. In fact, didn't he ban witches at one point? No witches. Then he ended up coming around and sneaking in to see a witch, and he had banned. Well, that's what his bitterness and guided him. He got him where he moved into occult power. And people begin to do that. It's very subtle. New Age is profligate, folks. It's everywhere. It's common. It's on your back of your cereal boxes, almost, the New Age. So people get to moving out stuff. Just, you know, whispering to a demon, would you? And that's wicked. And then finally, the last one, murder. That's what Jezebel did. She murdered Naboth. This is a fully matured Jezebel. Malice, hate, and murder. We're actually praying for a pastor's demise or the pastor's wife to die. Yeah. She has, you know, she's a Jezzy and she knows the spiritual authority, so she'll pray that God, or pray that it's like sending hexes. You know, the pastor's wife might die. I mean, you know, a curse calls us doesn't come, but we don't know what holes in our armor we might have. That's why really wise, it's incumbent upon the pastor to keep the, you don't know what's going on. They come, it's, this is a deadly life and death thing. Need to be wise. Voodoo dolls, charms, hexes, and curses, they just get into the occult. Well, let's close now, last place, Malachi 4. In conclusion, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi 4. And we're going to pray. Malachi 4:4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant. This is how God closes the Old Testament. Okay? Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Who? Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the heart of the fathers back to the children and the heart of the children back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. You know, folks, there's only one thing can really prevent and destroy a Jezebel spirit. You ready? It's the proper insistence on God's order. Did you see? I will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. In other words, I want order. I want honor. I want submission. I want fathers to love their children and love their husbands and love their wives. And I want the children to honor. When there is godly order, that brings the power of an Elijah against the Jezebel demon. And I really believe as long as you love the truth in spite of yourself, you'll be a threat to Jezebel. You've got to love the truth. You got to be willing to lose your life. Stand up for what's right. Be willing to take on the bully. Amen? Now, be honest. How many of y'all tend to be wimps at times? Come on. You're honest. Come on. How many tend to be wimps at times? Three times the hands went up. How many tend to be wimps at times? Boy, they're going up more and more. Let's be honest, folks. One time I was asked to do a commencement speech at for some college graduates at church for all their college graduates. And I said, Lord, what am I going to tell these guys graduate from college? You know, the Lord told me, tell them to stand up for what's right and stand up for the truth and be willing to lose their life for truth. And I did. And then the anointing of the Holy Ghost fell in that place. It's a little commencement ceremony. I really believe, guys, that's the most important thing. Stand up for what's right. You know what's right. Jesus did. That's why they crucified him. You say, I know. I don't want to be crucified. Exactly. You're avoiding the cross. Stand up for what's right. He was crucified, but he knew if I can endure this suffering and the hardness, I'll be resurrected the third day and I'll get to sit at my Father's right hand for all eternity. You know? Stand up for what's right. Don't let Jezebel and Ahab spirits predominate. And if it's on you, I'm going to give you four steps in how to deal with them. You ready? Not like our Baptist brother the other day. He had those, you know, it's all started with the same letter. Sorry, I was trying to do that, and I thought, I can't make it work. The first is confess rebellion and manipulation and all these things. Just confess the sin. That's the first thing. Confess the sin. If it's Jezebel, rebellion and manipulation. If it's Ahab, abdication. Just confess it and renounce it. Amen? Just say, Lord, forgive me. That's sin. You've shown me the word. The second thing is under the anointing, break the curses. Just like our brother had. Excellent. I really appreciate that, Steve. Excellent teaching on curses. Break those curses up. The iniquitous curses of Jezebel and Ahab spirits out of your life. Under the anointing. I think it takes an anointing of the Holy Ghost. I only just reading some prayer. I found you pray and you worship and the anointing comes. But the anointing breaks the yoke. Amen. Break those curses in Jesus' name. The third thing is under the anointing, break the ungodly soul ties between you and all that have controlled or manipulated you or practiced sorcery against you or that you have practiced sorcery against. Break those soul ties. Some of us here or listen to my voice, you're under fear of man. It brings a snare. You're under fear of man. You know, you're intimidated by men's persons. And break those soul ties in Jesus' name. Say, Lord, forgive me. You know, to the degree that you fear man, to that degree you don't fear God. And fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the fourth thing, you ready? You ready? Pray to the Lord and submit to all spiritual authority. Put your life under spiritual authority. If you ain't got a pastor, say, Lord, show me a pastor. Guide me, lead me. You cry out to the Lord, He will lead you into all truth. God, it says that God will lead you. Get up under authority. Women, if you're bucking the authority of your husband, he's a loser, wimp. I trust he's not here. A loser, wimp, addicted, porn-watching, sports-watching, lost pagan. Some lady went, yeah, that's him. You nailed him. Go to 1 Peter 3:1 and engage in spiritual warfare. I have a book that I've written back there called How You Can Change Somebody. It's kind of tongue-in-cheek. What you do is you get all that frustration and anger and you're so frustrated with that husband. Look, that's good stuff inside. That's fire. Now go in the closet and aim it at the demons. Amen. I hate you, demons over my husband. I bind you. Dipped it at the demons. Finally, you come to the husband. Would you like some coffee? Am I right? What do? We vent it at the husband. We offer the demons a coffee. See? See, just you that stuff inside you is okay. That stuff, that's fine. Just aim it in the right direction. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. It's okay. Hatred's good. You aimed at the demons. Yeah. Love your enemies, but hate his. So, submit to authority. And pray to be brought under true submission in all relationships. Ladies, under men. Men, get under a pastor. Get under a male authority, a brother. I don't think men need to look to women for spiritual direction. Now, you may disagree with me, and you have that prerogative to do so. Fine. But I believe that's what the Word says. A man needs to be under... Now, you know, sometimes I have these women call the ministry, because I do a TV show on cable all the time. We get all kind of folks call. And sometimes you get these women, and they'll say, well, Pastor Chris, I'm the... You know, and they put all these things in front of their name. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, super spiritual person, Agnes, all of this, you know. That's so that I'll be real impressed as we go into this conversation. And this happened not long ago. Some woman called me, and she's just going on and on, wouldn't shut up. She calls me, and she's just nonstop talk, diarrhea of the mouth, just going on. And finally, I had a word in edgewise, and she calmed down, and I said, what did you call about? Well, and then she said, talking to her, and nothing was there, just fluff. Finally, I said, ma'am, can I ask you a question? To what man are you submitted? And you heard this. She couldn't speak. I said, I'm sorry, she couldn't speak. I said, are you under the authority of a man? I was like, and then this screech came out. A screech. How many of y'all would agree with me that she was bitter? How many of you would agree that she had no more business being in the ministry than a dog? What was I dealing with? A Jezebel spirit. And then I was trying to be kind to her. I wanted to know the man to whom she was submitted so that I could call him and pray for her. Well... She hung up. Okay, let's pray. Jesus. We don't want these demons. Amen? You can unlock the door. Listen, I want us to lead us through some prayers. Let's, where you sit, you don't have to stand. First, let's confess. Let's confess to the Holy Ghost. Anything the Lord put in your heart. Any rebellion, if there's a Jezebel attitude inside of you, confess it, ladies, men. If there's an Ahab, confess it. Abdication. Come on. Just tell Jesus. Say, yeah, Lord, you nailed me. That's me. Forgive me. Confess it to the Lord tonight. Come on. If you confess, he's faithful and just to forgive. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, conviction of the Holy Ghost. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Confess. Own it. Quit blaming. Get out of the blame game. Take ownership. Say, Jesus, it's true. You nailed me tonight. He shoved the sword right in my heart. It's true. I got that tendency. I bucked my husband out of frustration. I didn't know what to do. Forgive me, Lord. It's true. I'm a man. I let my wife run and everything. I keep gravitating to the flesh. I don't set godly order. I don't pray. She has to be the one to wake me up in the morning to pray. I don't rise up first. I'm a lazy whatever. Forgive me, Lord. I've not taken spiritual leadership. The kids are messed up. They've got problems. I take ownership. I've been the Ahab. I've been sitting in a corner in self-pity, wishing for things for myself. Folks, confess that sin to Jesus. It's sin. Take up your authority. And Lord, I pray, as folks confess and turn their heart from these things, I pray for mercy and forgiveness. Come, Holy Ghost. In your mercy, forgive. You're such a loving God. You don't hold anything against us. You instantly forgive. If we just own it, you love us. You don't exact upon us what our iniquity deserves. You love us. You forgive us. Thank you for your wonderful love and mercy. Come, Holy Ghost, now. Just pour mercy and love in the blood of Jesus over every heart. Now, I want you right now to forgive yourself. Just get off your own case. Just say, okay, as of this moment, right now, go forward, forget the things that are behind. You're forgiven, it's under the blood. Don't beat yourself up about the way you've been. Just say, okay, thank you, Jesus. The Word's convicted me. I've confessed it, and I'm going to go forward, and I'm going to walk different. Don't beat yourself up. Don't let the devil throw it in your face. Just forgive yourself. It's important to forgive yourself, folks, as it is to forgive others. Now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over the Jezebel Ahab spirits and the curse and in the power and the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. We break and cancel and annul any generational curses of Jezebel brought up under Jezebel Ahab's moms, dads, grandparents, great-grandparents, up many, many generations. We break those curses. We annul them. We cancel them right now. Just agree with me. Just agree. I annul them. I cancel them. Satan, I blot you out in the power. As our brother said, the transaction of the cross, I receive what Jesus did. He took the iniquity upon himself, and I cancel those curses, and I take the power over my life. All of these curses, I take them in Jesus' name. Now we break all the curses passing down to your children or maybe your grandchildren. We break them in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray that you would requip these ones with anointing. They can go lay hands on their offspring and speak a blessing over their lives and reverse the curse for the blessing, Jesus. Now in Jesus' name, we break every soul tie, every psychic tie, every psychic band and bonding and linking and hooking between any individual that anyone here has been under the sorcery or control or manipulation, fear of man. We break its tie in Jesus' name. Anyone that's controlled you, that you're afraid of, that allows you to intimidate you, that you're afraid to be yourself around, I break that tie in Jesus' name. I pick the psychic tie. Lord, I pray, send angels in here with swords and cut those ties in Jesus' name. Cut them off the emotions, off of the soul of the mind. I pick the psychic ties in Jesus' name. The emotional ties of anyone we've been controlled by or we have controlled. You may have controlled or manipulated. They're used, just tough. Your insecurities, maybe use some of these blackmails or emotional manipulations. Will you break it? Break that tie in Jesus' name. Break, renounce. I take the power of that spirit. Take it in the name of Jesus. I'll just say. Everybody take a deep breath. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. Come, Lord. If you're sitting here agreeing with me, and it's quite possible the Holy Ghost is doing things in your life with his angels. Now I want you right now to make a commitment to Jesus. It's between you and Jesus. I'm going to get back up under every lawful, legitimate authority in my life. I'm going to be under authority. I'm going to operate in a meek spirit under authority. Now, obviously, there is an appeal process. Christ gives us an appeal in Matthew 18. The authority is not your God. Praise God. There's an appeal. If your authority gets out of line, you can take one or two more. You can go, hey, he's giving us an appeal. But, you know, knowing there's an appeal, you can submit. If there wasn't an appeal, it would be hard. But knowing that that's not your God, but you can submit to authority in a godly way, and if a problem comes up, you've got an appeal process to bring others in and bring order and righteousness to your authorities. Now, you make that decision. See, Jesus, I'm going to do it. Line up. And if you're here and you don't have a pastor, you don't have someone to whom you look spiritually, I really encourage you to ask the Lord to bring that person in your life. Seek him with fasting and prayer. Fasting and prayer. Seek the face of the Lord. Lord, bring someone. I want my life under your godly authority. I want to be protected. Bush to you. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Now I'm going to stop praying. In the name of Jesus. All these spirits. Satan, we've exposed you tonight. Shove the sword in. Now come out. Come out right now. Come on. All of these spirits, everything that God wants to deliver folks up tonight, I want you out right now. Come on. Manipulation, control, witchcraft, spirits. Come on. Come on. Getting control over other people. Insecurity. Using your insecurities to manipulate. Come on. Come on. Emotional blackmail. Come out of that. Break the power of these demons out of the lives. Come on. Out of the minds. Out of the minds. In Jesus' name. Witchcraft. Out of the minds. Mind control, witchcraft. Loose the minds right now. In Jesus' name. I take the power. Mind control, witchcraft. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I ask you to send an angel and loose the banding off the minds right now. Loose the bandings off the minds right now. Take that spirit of witchcraft in Jesus' name. Mind control, witchcraft. Come on. Manipulations. Soul power. Using soul power. Using psychic power. Legitimately or ignorantly. I break the power of that witchcraft. Take its power. I pull the sting of the enemy. I pull it out of your emotions. Pull it out of your spirit. Take its power. The bitterness root. The bitter roots. Bitter roots. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Come on, take a deep breath. Thrust those things out, folks. Thrust them out. Resist the devil. Tell him to go. Bitter roots. Nagging roots. Voices in the ear. Nagging voices always telling you about so-and-so and such and what they're doing. And they need to do this. And they need to do that. And they're not going to do this for you. And therefore, you have these rights to do this and that. And I rebuke that thing. It's the devil. I beat the spirit of familiar spirits in Jesus' name. Lying spirits. Bitter spirits. Judgmental, critical spirits. Unforgiving spirits, take the spirits, take the power of the emotions tonight. Amen? Take a deep breath, folks. Let them go. Rebellion. There's, Holy Ghost is telling me, some of y'all, particularly when I was hitting on some of these areas, something rose up in you. Okay, something, and it is a cult. We live, folks, in a feminized culture. We live in a perverted culture that's being taken over by the homosexuals, if you haven't noticed that. Our country is, as Robert Bork wrote the book, Slouching Towards Gomorrah. We are moving more and more to Sodom and Gomorrah. This is a homosexual perverted. They run all the media. I'm telling you, it's everywhere. And so what I'm preaching is right in the heart of that wicked spirit, perverted spirit of sodomy. I pick the spirit of that. Feminism in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray for godly masculinity. Godly men, Lord Jesus. Men and women, godly women, as in 1 Peter 3, with a meek and quiet spirit that is in the sight of the Lord of great praise, under the authority of the man. I break that spirit, that current spirit of each of us, of our cultural spirit of feminism and radicalism and rebellion and witchcraft, all the way up in the highest offices of the land. Amen. Bushti andalamaka. Come, Lord Jesus. Y'all take a deep breath. Let him go. Let's all stand. Jesus, come on, fight. A little bit easier to fight standing. Fight. Fight in the spirit. Tell the devil, go. Tell him, go. Go. Hinder the Lord. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Go. Hinder the Lord. I command you to leave. Satan, leave these emotions. Leave these minds. Go. Lord, send your angels. Pull them out tonight. Shoot the key on the Lamona. Take the power of this witchcraft. Jesus. Jesus, come on, let's sing to the Lord. Let's speak in tongues. Let's get in the Spirit. Come on, don't let witchcraft come in. Don't let any spirit come in and rob this deliverance tonight. Come, Lord. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Do your work. Do your work. Do your work. Come on, stretch out to the Lord. Draw nigh unto me, said the Lord. I'll draw nigh unto you. Just stretch out to the Lord. The Lord wants to set you free. He loves you. He wants you free from this witchcraft. He wants you free from these tendencies. He wants to break these curses out of your generation. Hail to the Lord Jesus. He wants your churches whole and godly and anointed in a blaze of fire in the midst of darkness. I break you, Satan. I command you to loose these churches. I command you to loose these saints. I command you to loose these leaders. Hail to the Lord Jesus. Lord, bring the revelation of humility and meekness and lowliness and brokenness, Lord. The power, the strength of brokenness, the power, the strength of submission. It's nothing to be afraid of. It is the safest place in the universe. Under the shelter of the Most High, under the shadow of His wings. Come, Holy Ghost. Come, Holy Ghost. Jesus. Oh, yati shotolama kandarama warfare. Wati andalamana, bind and break the powers of these spirits. Break you in Jesus. Defy you. Oh, should we divide and conquer you tonight? Ishtandalamana, if I take a deep breath now. Jesus wants to sing a song to Jesus. Jesus, name above all names, beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. Sing that again. Jesus, name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you hear, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be us. sweet, sweet sound in your oh la 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 oh. Spirit, right now, I pray that you would come and just pour oil and wine in every wounded heart. Come, come, nurture, suture, Lord, heal, heal with the tender love. Oh, heal the brokenhearted, Lord, all the way to the roots, the bitterness, the hurt, the wound, Lord. Heal the wound, pour the balm of Gilead on that wound, Jesus. For that's really the root, Lord. Heal our hearts to you. Lord, that out of our bellies would flow rivers of power and glory. I bless you tonight. Now we pray protection over all of us. I forbid the enemy to backlash anybody. Anybody over my church tonight that's been interceding, I forbid you to backlash over my kids, the kids in the church or anyone on the fringe. I take your power, devil. I forbid you to mess with any family, extended family, church, if anyone, any homes, apartments, jobs, pets, anything. Satan, we take your power. We bind you back. Lord, we ask for a big bunch of extra angels, all of us, as we walk out in protection. Everybody said, amen. God bless you. Morning prayer, 6 a.m. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.